my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul rests in your embrace. I am yours, and you are above the waves. When oceans rise, so rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger. The presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, so rest in your embrace. am yours, and you are mine. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Thank you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. I don't say hey to everybody tonight.
Message and data rates.
When you hear these phrases, where does your mind take you? Strolling along the water's edge, a fresh breeze gently blows as you hear children laughing and playing. Shopping in an open market with the scent of freshly baked bread and music that tickles your ears and adds pep to your steps. Traveling with like-minded people in a majestic and serene country. These experiences only scratch the surface when you join us in Israel for 9 breathtaking days this fall. Capture the wonder of the Bible coming to life as you take the trip of a lifetime to the Holy Land. Experience Israel this November like never before. See firsthand how the old and new combine to create a beautiful tapestry that will revitalize your faith. Become engulfed in the beauty of Mediterranean landscapes and culinary delights, all in the comfort of 4- and 5-star accommodations. For cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. Come and see for yourself the spectacle of the land of Israel. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
Do you know what makes a good parent? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Do you remember leaving the hospital with your first child? You might have thought, what do I do now? As you've continued your parenting journey, you may have also thought, am I even doing this right? Well, there's no instruction manual that comes with our kids. There's no scientific checkup to determine if you're being a good parent. But there are some things to consider. First, check where you're spending your time. Is your calendar filled with things to do with your kids? Second, how are you disciplining your children? Calmly and gently with authority, or yelling and screaming in chaos? For more on being a good parent, listen to my new podcast at markmerrill.com. Remember, your family first.
Want to connect with Mark on Twitter? Follow him at twitter.com/markmerrill. The Family Minute with Mark Merrill, helping families love well.
My report is about Alexandra Scott. She opened a lemonade stand to fight cancer. Her friends raised $1 million before Alex died of her own cancer.
Inspiration. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
In motion, to the breath that
Let me know when we're ready, steady. All right, so again, good evening. Good to have you all here on like this super hot Tuesday evening. I heard one individual say that it's really cold. Craziness. I'm like, I'm sweating up a storm here. But luckily, it cools down enough that when we get home, our windows are open, the fans are on, it won't be too unbearable like last month. So we're going to be in Ezekiel 2 today. And God willing, we're going to make it through chapter 3 to verse 15. The title of tonight's message is You Are What You Eat. Ain't that bittersweet? I just had to throw that in there because it rhymes. And we're going to read in the Word that Ezekiel, quite whether it's literal or in his vision, he has to take the scroll, the Word of God, and he has to eat it and consume it. And it tastes sweet, such as honey, but it also has that bitterness in the belly. So Father God, your hand on us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for this time to go through it. We lift up those folks hurting in Texas. We thank you for all of the people who are giving up of their time and finances to be there, who are opening their homes and their doors to take in people with need and to just share love and kindness. Everything that represents you and your goodness, Lord. So we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ezekiel chapter 2. Before we get into it, last week we saw this vision that was given to Ezekiel while he was by the river of Kibar with the other exiles. He is called to be a priest, but yet he is never going to be able to fully do that duty. Why? Because they're in exile, right? They're taken captive, they're made slaves, they're in bondage, and they're told that they're going to be so in Babylon for around 70 years. So Ezekiel has very strong, hard words to convey to his people, and he's going to need the Lord to strengthen him. He saw this vision of what I vision is God's war machine on the move, and it cannot be stopped, and it is very glorious. Verse 28 of chapter 1, the last half of it says, "This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking, and he said to me, 'Son of man, stand on your feet. I will speak to you.' Then the Spirit entered me, and when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, I heard him who spoke to me. And he said, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are an impotent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God.'" Not "thus says Ezekiel." "Thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, they are a rebellious house. And yet they will know that a prophet has been among them." So our boy EZ here, Ezekiel, has seen the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He didn't see the glory of the Lord. He saw a likeness to it, and yet he was not able to stand and behold it. He fell on his face, and he needed to be strengthened and encouraged by who? The Spirit. To be able to stand, right? Hold your place here in Ezekiel. There's another account in your Bibles, in Exodus 33, of a man who asked to see God's glory. Do you know who I'm talking of? Moses, right? Moses says in Exodus 33, verse 18, he says, "Please show me your glory." And then the Lord said, I will make all my goodness. Isn't that awesome? He says, show me your glory. And what does God say? My goodness. God is good. Whatever you think the God of this Holy Bible is, it's goodness. It's not anger. It's not wrath. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But the Lord said, you can't see my face. No man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. You shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. So here we see Moses is a man desiring to experience more of God. We know in the early stages he did not, right? He tried to take it into his own hands. But here, we see earlier in that chapter that in verse 11, it says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That's awesome, but we can have a contradiction there, right? It says, no man shall see his face and live, and yet here it says that he spoke to him face to face. God had to disguise his glory whenever he showed himself to humans, right? Only the Lord Jesus got to actually see the glory. And even Jesus himself was seen. So man did see God and they could speak to him face to face. Moses spoke with God in many different ways. We know the burning bush. And we also know that Jesus appears in the Old Testament. It's quite possible he could have spoken face to face. We don't know. But what we see is that Moses has to stand on the rock, right? Such great symbolism here. Standing on the rock being Jesus. And he's hidden in a crack here. And God has to hold him in his hands. And Moses cannot see out. And as God passes by, like a comet would pass by, and you can see the tail end of the comet, you know, just that small little portion. That's what Moses saw, was the glory that trails, the likeness of the glory. See, Saul caught a glimpse of God's glory on the way to Damascus, right? And had a life-changing experience. His life was forever changed. You can read of that account in Acts. There's various verses where Paul talks about it. We have them on the board. It's Acts 9, verses 1 through 9, 22, verses 6 through 11, and chapter 26, 9 through 20. These men wanted more of God and less of their world. You know, recently we just had an eclipse, right? I don't know how many of you got to see it. Here in Colorado, we had like a high 90 percentile. I don't remember what it was. But it was over 90%. 90, is that 7? 94. Okay. There was a percentage in the like high to mid 90s. And you know what? With that much of the sun blotted out, we still could not look upon the sun, right? Unless you had those cool whatever glasses where you couldn't see anything. So you look at the sun, and if you're like me and you decided, oh, I got to see what this looks like, right? Took the glasses off. To look at the sun, 90% something percent covered, man, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't tell it was being blotted out at all. It was darker than it should be at like 1 o'clock or whatever time it was. But that's just how bright and magnificent the sun is. See, and if you were in the sweet spot, Moses right now is in the sweet spot, right? In that rock. Just like the people who were along that curve that went throughout the United States where they could see the full solar eclipse, where the whole sun was covered, only the corona, which is Latin for crown, was visible, and you could actually safely take your glasses off and see. But it was only if you were in that sweet spot could you behold it. And guys, that's where we need to be. And how do we get there? We need to be hungering more for God, right? Desiring that relationship to experience him more. back to Ezekiel. Verse 6, we see that the Lord commands him to not be afraid. Son of man, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. You, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth. Eat what I give you. And when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning. We're to not be afraid, guys. We know what Scripture tells us, right? 1 John 4:4 is what gives us that idea of greater is he, right? We sing that in same power. Greater is he living in me. We can conquer the enemy. Because no power of darkness will prevail. Philippians 4, verse 13. Many of you know this. We can do all things in Christ, right? Who strengthens us. We spoke on Sunday night, for those of you that were here, that as Christians we can have a fearless life, right? Because with him we can fear less. We can, in fact, not fear at all. Now, it's not fully possible because of our sin. I like to get pumped up by being like, yeah, Jesus lives in me. I can take on the world. And then you get out there and you choke. But we do not have to be afraid. Because what is there to fear and to be shameful of? And that's nothing. In Jesus' name. Chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. Go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. And so I ate it, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. You are what you eat, right? We've heard that so many times. If you eat junk, you're going to feel like junk, right? When you eat good, you feel good. So what are we eating as Christians? What are we partaking of? Is it of the world or is it of his word? See, what we eat has great bearing on our state of mind and health. And it's not just to satisfy physical hunger, right? We have to eat to physically stay alive. Same is true spiritually, right? We need to eat because it's essential to life. We need to have his word because it's essential to our spiritual life. What we eat becomes a part of us, doesn't it? I mean, the older I am now, still trying to skateboard, ride my BMX like I did, I have to eat healthier now. I need that protein to like rebuild my muscles because it doesn't happen as quick as it used to. And if I'm eating foods that are not good for my body, it impacts my performance. And same is true with you, whatever it is that you do in your spare time or during your work time. See, our human bodies have an estimated 32.5 trillion cells. I have no idea how many zeros that is, but it's a ton. And each single one of those cells needs nutrition. It needs water. It needs substance from what it is you are partaking. See, diet is a great motivator because it's where it all starts. I'm sure many of us here have always, through one time or another, we decide we want to get healthy, right? How many New Year's resolutions is that? Where does it all start? Oh, got to eat healthy. You know, that's where it always starts, diet and exercise. Guys, that's why we need to spend every morning, what is one of the most important meals of the day? Breakfast. So as a Christian, what do you think one of the most important ways to start your day should be? Oh, you're listening. I love it. Right? Do you eat lunch? You'd like to eat lunch at least, right, if you could. What do you think as Christians we can do during lunch? How many of you have a cell phone? How many of you have a Bible app or several Bible apps? Man, my phone sends me push notifications of scripture, so even if I want to forget, it still pops up on my screen. Because there's times, man, where I get lazy or forgetful or both. Right? At night, how many of you have ever eaten just like a rocking dessert or like pizza right before going to bed and it just produces such mass indigestion you can't sleep? Right? Whereas if you were to eat something like healthy, like maybe a salad, like I had salad I think yesterday and it felt awesome. And I slept great. Same thing with the word, guys. It's how we can end our day. It's how we start our day. It's how we end our day. And everywhere in between. Ezekiel knows that it's the word of God and not his own word. Verse 4 of chapter 3. So then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel, speak my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads, like adamant stone, harder than flint. I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears. All means all, right? Israel was committed to the rebellion and rejection of God. God equipped Ezekiel emotionally and intellectually to butt heads with these hard-hearted and hard-headed individuals. Charles Spurgeon says this, make your face like adamant. That was a stone, a very hard stone. Think of like a diamond. Make your face like adamant stone, if their hearts are like adamant. If they are not ashamed of their sin, do not be afraid to warn them of their sin. If they are not ashamed of their unbelief, then be not ashamed of your faith in divine testimony. Amen? Verse 11. So go and get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord, whether they hear or whether they refuse. So when the Spirit lifted me up and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice say, blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another and the noise of the wheels besides them and a great thunderous noise. God is on the move, right? In many awesome ways. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And so I went in bitterness in the heat, that is anger of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. So then I came to the captives at Tel Abib. That means the hill of ears, like ears of corn, who dwelt by the river Kibar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. See, Ezekiel's work started with receiving. He had to listen and receive what the Lord was saying to him. Just like us during our meal times, our study times, that's the time of us receiving. After we receive, we need to then go and be among the people that God has given to us and to deliver God's message to them. We've said it a lot of times here. It's no accident where you work. where you live, the hobbies you have, the things you enjoy doing. God handcrafted you with all of that for his purpose and pleasure. See, so many times we're restless because we don't accept what the Lord has for us. And it's in him we find our rest. See, God gives a heart for the people to weep when they weep, to rejoice when they rejoice. Ezekiel is being called to his own people. I know many of us, when we first get a hold of Christianity, we all go through like the same thoughts and feelings, right? Like you become a Christian, you accept Jesus in your life, you get excited, and you're ready to go to Africa or somewhere else, and yet you don't know any dialect. You probably don't even know like Africa's actually a continent, right? And you want to go far away because for whatever reason in our minds, it's easier to try to go to some little aboriginal somewhere else when we have people hurting right here. Your next door neighbor, your workmate, right? God made it easy because it was a people that could understand him. But see, so many of us, we like to have a vision of success, right? Is it any wonder why Ezekiel was bitter? How would you like to have a pep talk for those of you who like football? Could you imagine a coach being like, yeah, man, you're going to go out there. You're going to lose that game. Man, you are not going to be able to get a touchdown. You are not going to be able to make a field goal. That's what Ezekiel's being told, man. He's like, dude, you're going to go out. You're going to speak. You're going to do your best. And no one's going to listen. Dude, that would discourage me. Right? See, as Christians, we get to be in the world and not of it. We can hurt when they're hurting, guys. Jesus brought forth this example. He wept when they wept and rejoiced when they rejoiced. We take the light to the dark places. We faithfully deliver God's word no matter how it is received or how we think it will be received. See, proclamation doesn't depend on reception. Amen? It's an interesting note that 7 days was a period of consecrations of priests. You read of that in the book of Leviticus, 8 verse 33. See, Ezekiel no doubt used this time for preparation for his ordination of the prophetic priesthood and the words that he would speak forth. He needed this time to reflect and to let the Lord change his attitude about his God-given mission. See, he needed to be encouraged, strengthened, and prepared for the test ahead. Then he had to accept it. And this is true in every single one of our lives. We'll close tonight in Galatians in the New Testament. Galatians 6, verse 5 says, having predestined us, or for each one shall bear his own load. Verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Not just to other Christians. Not just to people who like smile. To all. But especially to those who are the household of faith. So, Father God, we thank you. Lord, this time, we're just going to go before you in open prayer. Father, we have your supper here. The juice and cracker that you said, as often as we gather, that we can partake of this. Lord, when we take this together, there are other cultures, both past and present, that to share a meal was a very intimate relationship, because they understood that when you partake of the same elements, you are in a sense becoming one, because that same nutrition is going to both bodies and it is benefiting in the same way. So us as Christians, we get to partake of this meal and we get to share of its benefits, which is of you. So Lord, whatever it is you have put on our hearts, may we just lift it up to you. May this be a time of just confession, profession, be a time of strengthening and encouraging one another. Lord, if it's something that you have spoken to us tonight in your word, please speak. We look forward to it, Lord. Amen.
Sunday is the day that every time we break bread, we get to remember the day. Every time. So for us, Resurrection Sunday remembrance is right this second. Now I know a lot of people on Easter or Resurrection Sunday, they just see this as this pinnacle. And it is a really important day. They ripped your beard out. I did that. They spat on you. I did that. They punched you. You looked like a meat. You couldn't even beyond human reason is what you looked like. I did all that. I whipped you. I pulled up the nail.
I
So we'll use this time to briefly separate. If there's any prayer requests amongst the men, we will be over there. Ladies, you can stay here with all the snacks and goodies. So men, if you need some, get some now.
Let it go.
Gold one next to the orange one.